Good Friday. Today is May the 23rd, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, spotted lanternfly has reared its ugly head, and there's a new quarantine in a couple additional counties in the state of Ohio. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Also, as we get ready for the Memorial Day holiday, a touch on food safety and charcuterie boards. We'll have the details after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants. Simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Taking a look at your agricultural headlines for Friday morning, we look out in the backyard and garden. The Ohio Department of Agriculture is expanding the spotted lanternfly quarantine now to include counties in northeast and northwest Ohio, this all to reduce the spread of the invasive pest. Six new counties are now under quarantine. They include Wood, Seneca, Summit, Portage, Trumbull, and Carroll counties. And there is a map available on the ODA website. Now, under quarantine, products such as trees and nursery stock may not be moved out of the area without a compliance agreement, permit, or inspection certificate, and producers who ship these products to non-regulated areas must also have their stock inspected, and each load must be accompanied by that certificate, which confirms the product is free of the spotted lanternfly. Businesses that need assistance with certifying shipments of products at risk of spreading can reach out to the ODA's Plant Pest Control section for assistance. The updated quarantine is now a result of several new infestations reported throughout the Ohio Department of Ag's online Ohio Plant Pest Reporter. The ODA continues to encourage community members to report sightings of spotted lanternfly, especially in counties that are not under quarantine. Identification and life cycle images can be found on that website. Recommendations on treatment methods for spotted lanternfly on your property can also be found at ODA's Spotted Lanternfly Homeowner Management Guide. The spotted lanternfly is an invasive pest that's known to cause harms to Ohio's agriculture industry, according to ODA Director Brian Baldridge. He said, "We appreciate community members stepping up to report this insect when it is found, and with the help of our experts, we can more efficiently identify spotted lanternfly, treat it, and work to protect the abundant plant life that we have here in the state." The spotted lanternfly is an insect native to Asia that's capable of infecting grapes, hops, and apples, among other species of plants. The pest is specifically of a concern to Ohio's grape and wine industry, which contributes more than $6 billion in economic activity to the state yearly. An invasive tree known as the Tree of Heaven is the primary host for spotted lanternfly. Now, the ODA will begin treating spotted lanternfly in Franklin and Hamilton counties this spring. The spotted lanternfly was first detected in the United States in Pennsylvania back in 2014, and it was likely brought to the U.S. by imported goods. The first confirmation of spotted lanternfly here in Ohio was in Mingo Junction back in 2020. Now, a couple easy ways to find this. You can go to the Ohio Department of Agriculture website. That's agri.ohio.gov. Click on the Safeguarding Animals and Plants and follow the links there. Or go to the Buckeye Yard and Garden line at bygl.osu.edu, and you can find the links there as well. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to go a different direction now as we take a look out in the backyard and garden and talk about some of the entertaining sometimes that we do out in our backyards. And charcuterie boards are a popular offering at a lot of outdoor parties and get-togethers. They can be presented in creative ways, but we want to make sure we keep everybody safe with food safety in mind as we serve them. USDA's Rod Bain shares some tips as we go into the Memorial Day weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, time for another edition of Queen of Charcuterie. With our guest today, USDA food safety expert Meredith Carruthers.
I'm actually well known in my family for making really good boards and spreads with charcuterie and cheeses and things.
Just how passionate are you, Meredith, when it comes to charcuterie boards and layouts?
I am a sucker for a good charcuterie platter.
So now what would you say is your most favorite, maybe most creative charcuterie board creation?
Okay, my best one or my most creative one that I've ever done was a spooky board for Halloween one year. And so did things like had prosciutto wrapped around mozzarella, like string cheese sticks to make it look like fingers and muscle, and then had brie with jam and had it look like, you know, a hand was bleeding and stuff like that. Oh, and I did like a little cheese ball that looked like a pumpkin and had these little spider things. And yeah, so spooky board was definitely my most creative that I've done, and my friends all loved it.
I'm impressed. So what are some of the tips you could provide our audience to make an attractive and delicious charcuterie board?
I normally just try and make them look pretty and full and put as much as I can on there and maybe spruce it up with some herbs that add a little nice kind of greenery texture and whatnot.
Good tips. Speaking of which, you're a food safety expert with USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service, Meredith, so I'm sure there are plenty of food safety tips to consider regarding charcuterie boards.
Really important to keep in mind in general with that charcuterie board is when you're putting those types of boards and those types of appetizers out, you're normally intending for them to stay out for a while, right? Like they're a grazing option for people to come grab a piece of cheese here, grab a little meat and put it on a cracker and go walk over there and talk to that person and then come back after. And so they're going to be out for a long time.
Oh, okay. So meaning the 2-hour rule, leaving perishable foods out for more than 2 hours at room temperature could increase possible foodborne bacteria and illness.
When it comes to food safety, following the 2-hour rule, especially for foods on a charcuterie board, like those meats and different cut fruits and things like that, is going to be really important.
So examples of foods that need to be refrigerated within 2 hours include what, Meredith?
Meats, different dips that have been opened and are now going to be considered perishable and need to be refrigerated. Soft cheeses like brie or goat cheese are perishable and need to be refrigerated. If you're slicing strawberries or even carrots or something else to put on there, once you cut those fruits and vegetables, those are perishable and then need to be refrigerated.
Some cured meats and hard cheeses may be considered safe to leave out past 2 hours, but you say, Meredith,
err on the side of refrigerating.
We're all out of time for today. But Meredith plans to join us again for a future episode of Queen of Charcuterie. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great weekend.